It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another great edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. Whether you're listening to us on your commute home or your commute to work, on the weekends while you're just hanging out, or maybe even at your office, we appreciate you taking us along with you. We have another great show lined up for you today. Of course, just want to remind you, if you'd like to subscribe to this show, you can always find us on all the usual places, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, on Stitcher. You can subscribe to us through your Apple device just by using the podcast app, and you can subscribe and make sure that all of the brand new episodes are sent directly to your device. Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the CEO of Crowd Staffing. He's Sunil Bagai. Sunil, thank you so much for joining us this week.
My pleasure. Excited to be here.
So one of the things I like to start off with is allowing our guests to kind of give their 60-second elevator pitch on their company. So tell us a little bit about Crowd Staffing and what you guys do.
Sure. So Crowd Staffing was designed to help organizations hire the best talent in a on-demand marketplace. And we've developed such a marketplace and built a lot of technology in our into our platform. We usually highlight the fact that it has a convergence of machine network and human intelligence. So you're getting the best of all worlds in the same platform and marketplace. But essentially the end goal and result is to help identify the best people for organizations so they can pursue their dreams of building their organizations and make them successful.
And how did you specifically get started in this industry? What got you into staffing?
That's a very long story. I'd like to say by happenstance or accident. However, it's been a wonderful accident. I love the space. I've decided to make it my home in terms of what I want to do. I'm looking at how we can transform not just hiring, but also everything related to how humans work and their potential and maximizing it over the next 10, 15, 20 years. And so it's become a major part of my life.
It's so funny because just about everybody I ask that question to on the show, always the answer is always around, well, I fell into it by accident, or I had a friend who owned a staffing company. Nobody ever really sets out to get into the staffing industry right out of college. It's kind of funny how that works.
It is. And for me, I was surrounded by individuals that were in staffing. My brother's in staffing. My wife at one point was in staffing as well. And just so I was, kind of was by osmosis. I learned a lot about it. But it was I was in the middle of a startup, actually, right before I had ended a startup. And then I was about to start a new one. And that's when I decided to just help my wife with some of her staffing endeavors. And lo and behold, it consumed me into the point where I made it my own initiative and never looked back.
You know, I was excited to have you on because I know how closely you guys work with automation and technology and really taking staffing to that next level. And it's something that we've been talking a lot about on this show is that automation boom in staffing and recruiting and the new way of operating. You know, how can staffing firms and recruiting firms still, you know, progress and innovate in that area, but still keep that one-on-one personal communication? Because I think that's something that's really going to be key as we move forward here.
It is absolutely key. And think of it as almost a return to the past, actually. Staffing started out as a very human, high-touch business where individuals were contacted and they would even actually be invited into an office, meet with their representatives from a staffing agency to figure out whether they're the right fit. And the agencies were responsible for ensuring that right fit from a people perspective, skill perspective, et cetera, right? Because of automation, because also of just how the economy has grown, People have less time. They don't want to go to an office, especially if they're looking for a job. They can do it from the comfort of their mobile device. So there's a trend of depersonalization that's been happening over a period of time, right? Mm. However, my belief is that, you know, it's not just about high tech and it's not just about high touch. It's really about a combination of both. And where that synergy lies is really where the magic is going to be, because we can use technology to push forward on automation, on essentially, you know, simplifying our day-to-day lives and tasks that we do from a staffing perspective. But we need the high touch to create that Jerry Maguire effect really, of the talent agent, right? Yep. And basically getting individuals to feel like they're super important to contributing towards the meaning and purpose that they're driving within that organization they're going to be joining. Mm. So that both of those together and finding that right harmony and balance is, in my opinion, essential for how we move forward.
The catch 22 right now in staffing is that it's a candidate's market. So it's becoming harder and harder to find good talent. We talk about it all the time. Yet one of the advantages of the staffing industry has always been we can find you talent fast. You know, it's one of the benchmarks of the staffing industry, and that seems to be getting harder and harder to do. So how can staffing firms use technology to try and keep that advantage?
Good question. So if you look around, there's a lot of technology that's being developed, a lot of marketplaces, new methods of hiring, all with a similar mantra to help speed up hiring. And yet not lose the quality, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're basically trying to hire today, you're going to start with a certain set of tools. And for example, you know, LinkedIn has a billion profiles, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if that were the answer, just going to a large talent pool like LinkedIn was the answer, then everybody would only use that. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, they use Monster, they use Career Builder, they use other sourcing tools that, you know, finds a social profile online from GitHub or Stack Overflow and so on. They use many, many tools. There's talent relationship management tools to help with engagement and nurturing. There's many different avenues that people go to find the right people, right? And all of those tools are help to speed up the process of identifying. It's like finding a needle in a haystack, really, mm-hmm. right? But none of them really talk to or address the fact that candidates want a better experience, mm-hmm. right? And candidates truly do, and they have choice today. And we find that many of them feel like there is a step removed between them and the organizations that want to hire them. And they don't want to feel removed. In fact, they want to be integrated into the process. And they want to actually have a say in which organizations they want to be part of and the kind of contribution they want to make. So they really want to have an integral role, right? So that's the, you know, dichotomy we're facing today, right? Which is tools help us in identifying, but they're less personal, less inclusive of the candidate. And so we have to solve that. And I think, you know, organizations that are looking to solve that are going to, you know, be the winners over time.
I've read a bunch of your stuff that you put up on LinkedIn, and if anybody wants to connect with Sunil, I highly suggest it, because you really put some fantastic content up on LinkedIn. And I know one of the phrases you like to use is the human cloud, and that's essentially what we're talking about here. Other than that, finding that balance, what are some of the possible drawbacks of the human cloud?
Well, first and foremost, it's really the definition of the human cloud, right? For a little bit of time, what's happened is it's become defined as a place for gig workers in the sense freelancers, essentially, that we want to hire. Yeah. And my opinion is that definition is a little too narrow. It really should mean being able to hire talent on demand. And any kind of talent, any place, right? So if it's a broader definition, then I think human cloud is a great definition, right? Mm-hmm. As for, you know, drawbacks, think of it this way. With Uber, we have ratings and reviews, and that's going to be a norm for hiring of all types of workers. It doesn't matter if it's a freelancer. It's already happening on platforms like Upwork and others, but it's also going to be the norm for full-time workers and contract long-term durations or project workers. That's going to be a very interesting part of the human cloud is, hey, what happens when candidate information lives beyond just one assignment in one company? And perhaps it's accessible and available over a period of time. Yes, keeping GDPR in mind, right? Mm-hmm. But other facets basically that allow it to live beyond the one assignment is essential for allowing us to have access to information to make better decisions over a period of time. So that's really what the promise of the human cloud is. Mm-hmm. On-demand access, transparency, and hopefully a indelible record that we can all access to make better decisions.
Mm. What about passive candidates? I know that's a big segment of the marketplace right now because there's such low unemployment that a lot of people aren't necessarily looking. So a lot of staffing firms are having to rely on that passive candidate marketplace. How is technology helping in that area?
Technology is playing a big role. The good news today is that active and passive, there's such a fine line. People move from being passive to active very quickly if they find the right opportunity, right? And it's all about fit, right? If a worker finds that, hey, in that next role, salary is one motivator, right? But if they find perhaps that they can align themselves better to that next opportunity because it's just a better fit, they derive better meaning or purpose or can make a larger contribution, they're way more open-minded. But the question is, how do you assess for that? Well, tools can help you. They can help, you know, foster engagement and nurturing behind the scenes. There's a lot of technologies that basically automate the process through AI and machine learning. Let's say if you have access to millions of candidates in a talent pool, well, why not engage and nurture them all the time by presenting them information, by helping them, get access to salary data, perhaps understanding more about their industry or different skills, and so on, to help them make a better decision, informed decision about certain clients as well, in terms of whether they're looking to become active. If they find the right opportunity and they're presenting the right information, they usually will raise their hand and opt in. And that's what you're looking for, is if a lot of that work happens behind the scenes and they raise their hand for an opportunity to say, hey, I'm interested, or at least willing to talk more, then that saves a recruiter a lot of time. They're not having to have conversations with individuals that are not actively seeking, right? So that combination of technology, doing a lot of the work in the background, really can make the job much easier in terms of going from passive to active.
You mentioned in there about clients as well, about finding clients. And I think we kind of forget about that over the past couple of months now, because we're so keyed on trying to find talent and trying to find candidates that we forget that, you know, eventually this is going to shift over. As it does, it cycles through and we're going to need a lot more clients now. So how about on the client side of things? How is technology helping in that area?
Well, it's really a double-edged sword type of environment where, you would think that only one side of the marketplace matters, but the reality is both sides absolutely matter. And today more than ever, because when you start bringing in technology such as matching algorithms and distribution algorithms, where basically you're matching jobs to candidates, jobs to recruiters, recruiters to candidates, and so on, you need both sides of the marketplace to be involved, so you have good data, right? And on the client side, for example, if you have a great talent pool, because some companies do, then you want to be able to market that to appropriate clients so that essentially they're able to get the talent that they need faster. And vice versa, if you have relationships with clients and have good opportunities, you want to be able to basically have a proactive talent pool built so you can market the talent back to that client, right? Yeah. So the matching element is essential. And I think from our perspective, it's never about one side of the marketplace or the other. It's really about all sides together in harmony. And that includes recruiters or talent agencies, the talent itself, and the clients and their job requisitions.
Basically, what this all comes down to is mining that big data term, you know, that we hear so much about. You know, usually when people hear big data, it has a bit of a negative connotation. But, how should or should I say, how can the staffing and recruiting industry use big data? What are some of those key metrics they should be looking at?
Well, key metrics, I think, in staffing and hiring are always similar, right? I don't think the metrics change that much when it comes to, for example, just time to hire, submissions to interviews, interviews to hire type of ratios and so on, I don't think that changes very much. What I really think about a lot is, you know, in order to get big data to work appropriately, we really have to think about the data model. And I don't think very many organizations that are spending time trying to solve staffing or hiring in a meaningful way are thinking about the data model as intimately as we are, right? So, for example, if you in our world, we look at the data model as multiple levels. And in order to have the richest level of data quality, and that's what we call it, data quality levels, you have to kind of go through a number of steps. And it starts with collection of information. You know, you start with, let's say, a resume. That's level one, just collecting it in. Level two is assessing it for completeness, right? How valid is that information, such as, do you have a phone number? Do you have an email address? Do you have some experience missing, education missing? If there's anything missing, you flag it for that. Step three or level three is you start to standardize. So you may have information, let's say a LinkedIn profile. You may have a resume. You may have a social profile. You need to kind of get that all into one common format to be able to ingest it into a machine in a more meaningful way. Level four is harmonize and enrich that data. So you may have one data point, but you may want more data points to really have tell the full story about that candidate over a period of time. So that's where you start enriching, have multiple social profiles, sentiment analysis, and so on. Level five is classifying the data more appropriately. And that's where you can say, for example, this is not just a Java developer, but it's a Java developer that does front-end work and also in these geographies and also in these industries. So you start really getting a subset of information so that helps you allows you to search more effectively from a machine or human perspective. Level six is matching and scoring. These are where the algorithms start helping in the process. Level seven is authentication. And authentication is when the candidate themselves gets involved and says, hey, yes, I approve. That is my data. But more importantly, you give them the power to edit that data and say, hey, how do we want to, basically get the resume or the profile in a state where it's ready to be presented to a client. So that authentication is a huge step, and you kind of give it higher weightage than some of the other steps prior to it. Level eight is about verifying. You can use tools to verify skills and personality. And level nine is about curation. So after all these steps, you still get a human involved to really vet and screen and spend time with the candidate to make sure that we're aligning them to the best possible job. In my opinion, if you spend time on this data model, perfecting it, then you have a lot better chance of higher data quality going forward from a big data perspective and metrics.
And I think when people hear that phrase big data and they hear all these, you know, these metrics that you just mentioned, you know, people think, oh, only big corporations can handle this. You know, the Microsofts, the IBMs, in the staffing industry, the Kellys, the Manpowers of the world are the only ones who can use this. How can, you know, for lack of a better phrase, the mom and pop smaller staffing recruiting firms start getting into these analytics?
Well, in some ways, I tend to agree. The reason the large organizations have a leg up in terms of being able to solve, big data problems and analyze information is because they have access to it. Right. You have to have a lot of data to be able to access before you can actually analyze it appropriately, right? If you have a small subset of data, let's say 1,000 candidate records, it's just not meaningful enough to be able to capture the right trends and predictability, right? But if you have a lot of data, then there are a lot of tools that can help you. And my suggestion would be first start with tools that already exist. For example, CareerBuilder has great salary data insights that they provide, right? So use that. Then there's other ATSs that have a lot of, good data analytics, options available. So tools exist and you can leverage them instead of trying to build them yourself. However, you got to have a lot of information to put into the tools to be able to derive insights. So that's key.
The staffing industry as a whole, we've kind of semi-joked about this in the past that, you know, they haven't done the best job of adapting to technology and growing with other industries. But now it feels like this is changing in pretty rapidly, too. Do you foresee a big learning curve here or even growing pains as the industry dives into all this new technology?
no more than what has happened before, in the sense that, you know, this is an area that's been constantly evolving. And every year I hear that, you know, staffing is going to be replaced or dead in the next 5 years. Reality is it never goes away. Tools and technologies are becoming, you know, you could say better. There's more of them. And at the end of the day, they're starting to solve more meaningful problems. So that's good. My challenge personally is that I find that there's so much technology now, and it's hard to decipher what we need and when. And in my assessment, I'll give you an example from when I go visit clients and speak to them. And this could be a chief talent officer or some of the heads up recruiting or staffing in a large enterprise organization. I ask them, how many tools do they use for talent acquisition? And usually the answer is at least three or four or five. And in my assessment, there's at least 10 different technologies that a company could use. Anything from an applicant tracking system to an onboarding system to sourcing tools to AI and machine learning chatbots to talent relationship management. I mean, and so on. There's a plethora of technologies. And the biggest challenge, in my opinion, is that they're not integrated. They are disparate technologies. They're point solutions. They don't work together. They create a poor candidate experience because candidates are – it's a jarring experience. They have to go from one tool to another, right? And so all those are big issues. So even though technology is becoming more and more prevalent, the, you know, solution still is, you could say, you know, not woven together. And that's, you know, something that has to be solved. And if it is – and I think it will be over the next several years, and we're working on our own version of a very nice end-to-end integrated solution stack. I think what will happen is the candidate experience will be better, but you'll bring multiple parties of the ecosystem together, whether it's the clients, the recruiters, the candidates, all into one system. Why do we use a separate ATS for recruiters and a separate ATS for clients? It doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
So those are things that I think are going to evolve. The learning curve is going to get, you could say, better because the systems will become simplified and integrated together.
You mentioned something in there, and it kind of led me to my final question here before we let you go. And I don't want to end on a sour note, but is there a fear that all this technology is going to make it easier for individual companies to use it to find talent? And maybe, I don't want to say obsolete, but you know, maybe make staffing not as necessary, that they're going to be able to do so much of this on their own now because it's so much easier with technology.
So there is a trend where companies want to control their own destiny, right? And there's a reason for that. They want to be able to brand more effectively directly to talent. They want to be able to manage the entire process more effectively and so on. And also what's happening really is that there's a fight for talent. So they want to basically be able to, you know, win that fight against competitors and so on. So they want to take control. Nevertheless, what we're finding is because of all those reasons, staffing industry is still enjoying a very healthy, you know, a growth mode at this point. And the reason why is because it's almost impossible for companies to do it alone, right? And they still need the high touch approach. Staffing industry really understands how to find talent effectively and using the right tools. Whereas what will happen for organizations internally oftentimes is then they have to play the role of system integrator. They have to play the role of staffing in organization and also, you know, talent advisors and advocates all in one. And sometimes they're just not set up to do it effectively. So right now, as the industry is, I don't see it becoming obsolete in the near term. I think that the staffing industry also does need to invest in innovation and continue to evolve to stay relevant. But for the foreseeable future, it's always going to be a push-pull between clients wanting to manage it themselves and staffing industry trying to create more value.
So we'll at least have jobs for the next couple of years, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Very easy to predict that.
Okay, good. He's Sunil Bagai. He is the CEO of CrowdStaffing. If you would like to find out more about them, you can check out crowdstaffing.com. And like I mentioned earlier, check out Sunil on LinkedIn. He's got a ton of great content up there. I've really been enjoying reading that and getting myself up to speed on all this technology as well as we prepared for today. So, Sunil, thank you so much for sharing all of your technology and automation secrets of staffing success with our listeners today.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
My thanks to Sunil from CrowdStaffing. Some really good insight there into the world of automation, which has kind of come up quite a few times over the past couple of episodes of Secrets of Staffing Success. And I liked what he said about the combination of high tech and high touch. And that's something that a lot of our guests have mentioned. Automation is here to stay, and it's only going to get bigger, but it needs to be in conjunction with the human factor still. We still need that one-on-one human communication. And I just like that phrase, a combo of high tech and high touch. So what you need to do is figure out for yourselves, for your staffing firm, is how do we combine both of these? How do we embrace technology and move forward with technology, but still, like he said, keep that old school mentality of a personal touch, of that one-on-one connection that you have with both clients and candidates. This applies to both sides of the staffing spectrum here. Staying top of mind, you know, is something that we preach here at Haley Marketing Group. And technology can go a long way to helping you do that. You know, a simple email newsletter and content marketing, kind of that, I like to call it the set it and forget it marketing model. Stuff that you can do that doesn't take up a lot of your time, but can have a big impact on your ROI. Staying top of mind with your clients and staying top of mind with your candidates. I can't stress this enough. In this marketplace right now, where we are just starved for good talent, the number of staffing firms that do really good candidate marketing is minute. It just boggles the mind that the biggest issue that we're having right now is a lack of candidates in trouble filling positions, but no staffing firms want to spend money on finding candidates or even staying top of mind with their current candidates. So that's an area that I think you can focus on in terms of embracing that high tech, high touch concept as we move forward here down the road in the staffing industry and in embracing technology as opposed to shying away from it like this industry has tended to do over the past couple decades. All right, we got to run. My big thanks to Sunil Bagai from CrowdStaffing. As I mentioned, check him out on LinkedIn. Connect with him on LinkedIn. He posts some really good content up there in regards to automation and technology and how the staffing industry can start to embrace that. If you would like to check out this show, you can check us out on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on Spotify, all the usual places. If you are enjoying the show, please, please, please send us a review. Let us know what you think of the show and give us a rating on there and any future guests or future topics that you'd like to see covered on this show. We would love to know. We will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.